Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gonna take it. Got it! Boston wins!
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Bob Ryan. And I think this is like day 17, maybe, for me at the Residence Inn here in Indianapolis. And the weather has turned, Bob. It's not nearly as nice as it was yesterday. It was 70 degrees. Ooh. I ate outside down in Broad Ripple, which I had never been to. And so it was good. It was a good day. We had an unbelievable result in the Final Four with UCLA being the underdog and pulling off the huge upset over Michigan. What were your thoughts on the Bruins and Mick Cronin, who I did not think was a great fit for UCLA when they hired him about a year and a half ago? But I've come to realize that fit might not be as important as we once thought.
Well, he wasn't their first choice, we know, but he was a successful coach with a certain style, and I'm highly amused, Jeff, listening to the pundits, the high paid pundits, who are on the thing is, oh, this isn't the normal UCLA Greyhound streamline. Wait a minute, this opened the door for one of my favorite little basketball topics of the last 15 years. Was is the three UCLA teams, the plow horse teams that Ben Howland lugged into the Final Four with next to no chance of ever winning, ever, with NBA talent. Because Ben Howland hated every second his team actually had the ball. He was like the patron saint of the coaches who are happier when they don't have the ball than when they do. And I did a little research, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Let me throw some names at you from those three UCLA teams of 06, 07, and 08. Mba Amute, Hollins, Farmar, Aflalo, Collison, Love, and, oh, yeah, Westbrook.
Yeah, you know what Westbrook averaged?
Two, three, four? I don't know.
Wasn't much. It wasn't much. No, those teams were loaded. They were loaded, and they were offensively gifted, but the reason why...
Well, let me give you some scores.
Okay.
And in 06, when they got to the championship game, they got there by beating LSU 59-45, and in the championship game were beaten by Florida 73-57. In this 07, they were beaten in the semi 76-66, again by Florida. And then in 08, with all this firepower, which included Kevin Love, Westbrook, Collison, Mba Amute, they got beat 78-63 by Memphis. So this is UCLA basketball, folks.
Well, here's the thing, Bob. Here's the thing. They actually have been scoring the ball this year. They really have. Last night was...
I'm only kidding. But I just wanted to take a gratuitous shot at Ben Howland. This was my opportunity.
Well, they did. They fired him because ultimately they they won, but they didn't win titles, and the fan base was frustrated at watching a team play in the 50s and 60s. So when Mick Cronin got the job, I was actually talking to his dad the other night, Hep Cronin, who was a longtime Cincinnati high school coach, also a major league baseball scout for the Atlanta Braves. And he said, listen, I wasn't sure that my son was going to be able to get it done there. But he adapted. He adapted, and he's given his players freedom, and he's recruited. You know, to me, you got to have that blend, right? You got to have those guys in California that maybe some people call a little soft, but, you know, they could score the ball. He couldn't get those guys at Cincy. He got a certain type of kid, and that was a fighter, a defensive-minded player. Now, the beauty of Mick Cronin is he can keep getting those guys. Yeah. But he can also add to it skill guys who can really shoot. So, listen, this is a team that went first four to Final Four for a reason. They lost their Final Four regular season games of the season. They weren't great, but Bob, they lost their best player, Chris Smith, to a torn ACL early in the season. December 31st was his last game. And the other guy they lost that people forget about, a kid named Dacian Nix, who I saw play in AAU ball. A big guard who is an elite-level passer, elite level. He's in the NBA G League Ignite team, okay? Yeah. So they stole him from him after he had already signed at UCLA. So if you add on, those are their two most probably talented players. If you add those two guys onto this team, you could be talking about a team that wouldn't have snuck into the NCAA tournament, but would have probably been maybe the best team in the Pac-12.
Well, we give him credit. No, all kidding aside, of course. I wanted to get that shot in at Ben Howland. I can never get over what he did not do with those teams. And anyway, Mick Cronin, well, we knew he was a good coach. I thought he was. I thought his Cincinnati record was fine. It is give him full credit. They won an overtime game, but they did score 88 points in that game. And they dominated in overtime. And they survived, and they got in, and they won. And they got the job done. Now they're here. And fulfilling one of my usual theories, which is that the Final Four, more often than not always, but more often than not in the last 20, 25 years, there's an outlier. There's one, wow, who knew? Who thought, boy, if I only put some money down on them in Vegas, team, right? And this is it. This year it's UCLA. It just so happens they have a storied history and a pedigree of – that, you know, from a long ago, but no, not that long ago. If they go to three straight Final Fours in our recent lifetime, they're still basketball. But we all agree the basketball has lost its cachet to a degree there, and they need to get it in there. They'd like to get it restored. But I'll give them credit; they're here.
What's the best storyline, Bob? Is it clearly Gonzaga and its quest for perfection?
For me, it is.
Yeah,
I've said this. This would be the combination, Jeff, of not just this season, 2021. This would be the combination of a 22-year run of high-level play that has not yet resulted in the ultimate prize. And for a school that going back 25 years, no one would have predicted. There was nothing in their resume ever historically. John Stockton's teams barely broke 500 in his freshman year. They were 19-8, and then they went 48-46 in his final 3 years. Okay, so he wasn't enough to produce anything for them in that regard. I mean, Gonzaga, that guy named Frank Burgess, so about 40 years ago, good player, real nice West Coast player. I don't even know if he even had a cup of coffee in the NBA. I'd have to check it out. But and also, by the way, for people who don't know, they once had a 7'3" Frenchman who had a jump shot. He was an early stretch five. His name was Jean-Claude Lefebvre, and we're talking about 1959, 60 season. So anyway, but they had no resume that would suggest they could become what they become. So yeah, I respect and like. I don't know Mark Few. You know, I don't know him. But I respect him from afar. I've latched on to many of their teams. You know, I remember one of the great experiences. I'm not kidding. This was an experience. This guy in college was a show. Adam Morrison. I was at one of their regionals. The Adam Morrison show was a remarkable
amazing
thing.
Amazing.
Oh God. I was there on the ground floor in 2000 when they held LSU to 30 points. Oh, that was Wisconsin, excuse me. But they were in that same region. I was there with Matt Santangelo, Richie Frame. Okay, that group, you know.
Yep.
I've seen them, all the players that have come through. I'd like to see them do it and get it done, and then they don't have to answer that, and then it's get it done. Second storyline, clearly, is Kelvin Sampson. This is a guy, not that he was a criminal, but he broke, you know, he got caught with his hand in a cell phone and email cookie jar.
Yep.
He had to go through the show cause thing, right, for 5 years, right?
5 years he had to go to the NBA.
Wandered around the NBA. And here he is, and you know, he was not a horrible guy. He did what he knew what he was doing. And he got caught.
It was blatant. That was the thing with me with it. He had done the impermissible phone calls at Oklahoma, then went to Indiana and did it again.
Yeah, that was
back then. This was, you know, 14 years ago. It was a big deal. Now everybody looks at it. The rules have changed. Everybody's like, all right, well, now we got guys locked up for federal investigations. We ran him out for illegal phone calls, really?
And then, of course, the Baylor story is remarkable. You know, what the from the dead, literally. Oh, I apologize for even saying, using that word in context. You know, really, obviously, I don't mean to.
Yeah.
You know, so the jury would like to just, please, jury, disregard that. I use that phrase. From a starting position of zero, he has built a program an annual relevance. And now he's in the Final Four, and we give him full credit. And then UCLA, we already talked about them. But I think that clearly to me, Gonzaga, if they can do it, and now the chatter has begun. If they do it, where would they rank historically? And I'm happy to get involved in that. I did a little research on the undefeated teams, by the way, that historically. And so I think that's going to be good. That's good chatter. That's fair. It's fair game. You know, it's good chatter.
March Madness has returned, and Paramount Plus has the games that you won't want to miss. Watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and National Championship game on April 5th. Paramount Plus is also the home to year-round sports, including the Masters, PGA Championship, UEFA Champions League, and the NFL, plus many more. You also get breaking news, expert picks, and highlights from all of your favorite teams with CBS Sports HQ and 24/7 Sports News Network. What I love the most about Paramount Plus also, guys, is you get the throwback shows from MTV, Nickelodeon, plus their original programming. So there's plenty there on top of the sports content for you to enjoy. Visit ParamountPlus.com/scribe and sign up now to start streaming Paramount Plus with your free trial. That's ParamountPlus.com/scribe to stream Paramount Plus with your free trial. ParamountPlus.com/scribe.
What do you got?
I think people are inclined to doubt them or to play them down because they come from the West Coast Conference. Number one, and number two, they're not physical. You know, they're finesse. I mean, this is what the ultimate in modern basketball finesse. They're the Greyhound team, and you know, really the only close physical player is Ayayi. You know, and that's
Timmy's pretty physical.
Well, he may throw his weight around, but he can't hurt you. He's not exactly, you know,
true.
Mr. Strength and Health cover in a magazine, you know.
No, he's not that, but he plays physical. Yeah.
I really believe he's the young Pau Gasol. I think that's his skill set. And at 6'10", 6'11", whatever he is.
I don't even know if he's that. I think he's 6'9".
But he's got to stop the flexing. He's got to it's getting annoying. It's getting, you know, it's the one little, yeah, but
I asked somebody that, Bob, it's funny because I know Timmy and I love him. But I wondered how other people would react to the flexing and the when he does it with the mustache and he does all those things. You know, again, he's just kind of a goofy knucklehead type kid who's very likable once you get to know him. But I did wonder how this would play with those who don't know Drew Taylor.
It's becoming an issue. It's a talking point, you know, at this point in the season. It's a talking point. It's one reason, if you're looking for a reason, you know, to root against them, it's a reason. So I wish he wouldn't do it. I don't want to give those people any fodder. You know, I think you should appreciate, if you like basketball, I don't see how you can't like this team. I'm saying you have to root or appreciate them. You don't have to root for them if you want to, you know. But you have to appreciate what you're seeing here. And it was on display last night, you know, and couple of great stretches of play. So I would like to see them win. Yeah, I would very much like to do it. I think Beal, I mean, like most people, we're going to have delayed gratification for what, 3 months waiting for the Baylor Gonzaga game that never was in December, right?
And, I hope.
And I'm kind of glad they didn't play now because, now we're just going to have a blank slate. If and when they meet on Monday night, the 5th, then, just blow it up. Let's go. Let's have a fun. Yeah. We don't have to worry about what happened in December.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the matchup that everybody wanted. I had them 1-2 in the preseason. I think, again, it's interesting that all storylines are good. I mean, we got 4 good storylines to it. But, to me, those are the best 2 teams and have been all year. Houston's a good team. I don't know if I put them in those categories. I think Baylor ultimately is just as tough as Houston. But the difference is they can score the ball. Houston's not a great offensive team. So I think they're going to have trouble with Baylor in that regard. But the storylines are amazing with this. And I think finally, you get to the Final Four. Listen, just the fact that we've gotten here, Bob, and only have one game canceled in the tournament is pretty impressive, and we're almost there. And, again, you and I have talked about this, the city of Indianapolis, there's not a whole lot of atmosphere here because ultimately, and now you got 4 fan bases. I mean, look at this. Gonzaga, yeah, they travel okay. Baylor, they don't have a great fan base for basketball. Mm. The UCLA fan base isn't what it used to be. No. Then Houston. So you got 4 teams that are west of the Mississippi. I don't see this, obviously it's not going to be a traditional Final Four anyway.
No.
I don't think the atmosphere here is going to be very good going into the Final Four. It hasn't been great so far.
If it's not going to be in Indy, it's not going to be anywhere. And we know that unless you're going to do it in downtown Spokane right now, Right. So, back to the initial issue of where they're going to rank historically. I'll throw a couple questions out. Number one, all right, do we possibly have 4 pros on this team with Timmy, Kispert, Nembhard, and Ayayi?
No, I'd say 2.5. I'd say you're going to have 2.5. I don't know if Nembhard can make it. We'll see. He's an elite level passer, but not a great athlete, not a great shooter. To me, Suggs and Kispert are guarantees.
Yeah.
So I'd say they're going to get 3, 3.5. I'd go Suggs.
Pretty good.
Kispert, Timmy will find a way. And then maybe a Yai and Nembhard's probably more of a two-way guy.
Yai's kind of guy, category, I think I talked about this, that you want to bring to camp to make everybody sorry that you did.
Yeah.
he'll make you work,
Yeah, he will.
That's about Mark Vidal, kind of thing, But, okay. Another question for you. What if Nembhard hadn't gotten the waiver? Because it was not a guarantee he was going to be able to play for them this year, as I recall.
I talked to his father. They didn't want him to play. They didn't even. They weren't even going to get the. They weren't even asking for the waiver until, basically, it got cleared for everybody. So they were fully planning on Andrew Nembhard sitting out the season, working on his shot, waiting for Jalen Suggs to leave, and then Nembhard being the guy. Well, then the NCAA came in, and they said everybody gets their year back. So then they had a decision to make, and Claude Nembhard flew out to Spokane, met with the staff, talked to his son, and they figured, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do this. And they asked Jalen Suggs. Mark Few told the story the other night. Few asked Jalen Suggs and said, basically, do you want Nembhard to play? And Nembhard, Suggs said, yeah, absolutely. If it's going to make us better, I want him to play. So that's kind of what happened there.
So I did a little research on the undefeated teams going back to USF and see if anything you can learn from it in terms of the talent level, et cetera. And interesting, the North Carolina team in 1957 had 3 guys who did play in an NBA game. Were in a total 3 guys of 99 games, 82 of them played by Lenny Rosenbluth, 16 played by Pete Brennan and one played by Tommy Kearns.
Wow. Wow.
Who, Frank McGuire, in a little moment of Brooklyn mirth, set out to jump center against Wilt Chamberlain the night of the championship game.
All right.
At 5'11". Just put that. He played one game in the NBA, scored 2 points in 7 minutes, and had an assist. All right. They weren't star laden even in their time, you know. But by the way, USF, people think Casey Jones wasn't on this 56 team. He had already graduated. It was Russell and a guy named Mike Farmer who had an NBA career. He's a journeyman forward. UCLA 64, Jeff. The backcourt, not bad. Walt Hazard and Gail Goodrich.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Keith Erickson.
Okay.
Okay. Who, by the way, and the center, as you probably know, was 6'5" Fred Slaughter, who became a very famous agent. That was the top. Nobody was 6'5".
That's crazy.
They used that 1-2-2-1 press, you know, with Erickson on the point.
Okay.
And the 67 team had a guy named Alcindor. Not a bad backcourt. Lucius Allen and Mike Warren. Mike Warren was ahead of his time. You know, he never played in the NBA because he became an actor. He was Hill Street Blues, and that's among right. other things. And that didn't work out that well. I don't know what he's doing. But that way, I talked to Walton about him. I talked to people about him. He could have played easily. He was 5'11 guard, but he could have made it. Okay. Lynn Shackelford, who didn't have an NBA career, was a great college corner shooter. He would have been flourishing in the three-point shot era, you know. And Mike Lynn, who didn't – and I – the first Walton teams. Walton, Keith Wilkes, Henry Bibby, and the backup center was Sven Nader, who had an NBA career of some distinction. Larry Farmer, Greg Lee, who had all those assists to Walton in 73. Pretty much the same cast the next year. That's the other thing about basketball. Pretty much the same basic cast the next year. Adding in Dave Myers, who's an interesting story, you know. All right, now we get finally to Indiana in 76. Kent Benson.
Yep.
Quinn Buckner, NBA. Scott May, who injuries kind of cut him short. Tom Abernethy had a career. Bobby Wilkerson had a career. So there's, you know, five NBA guys there, right there. And so.
Oh, that was a good team. That was a good team. It's incredible, though, Bob, that, you know, we're going 45 years ago. 45 years. Now, a lot of people will say, well, number one, we're in the pandemic year this year, so they didn't play a full slate. Number two, they're in the WCC. How much do you think that hurts them if they end up running the table?
In the historical discussion, it will. You know, it will. And you know, the other thing is we're only talking about the undefeated teams. There've been some pretty very potent, you know, other teams. The one that jumps to mind for most people, myself included, was the Vegas team that lost to Duke, in 91, who won it in 90. And who were on a roll, and you know they finally lost. But you know, you're talking about Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony, and about you're talking about Larry Johnson, you're talking about Stacey Augman. Oh boy, you know, they could play with anybody, his team historically ever. You know, they had a night, they got beat by Duke. And oh, by the way, Duke, gee, who'd they have? They just had Christian Laettner and Grant Hill, among other things. You know, gee, okay. By the way, the other thing that you might sell against them. If they do get there and do it, the route in the tournament wasn't that strenuous, even in the context of the time. Right. They got a good draw. If they beat UCLA, they would have, you know, they would have beaten a first four team. They already beat USC, who weren't great, you know, good, but they weren't
great. Oklahoma in the second round, Creighton, you know.
Yeah, right. So it was a pretty damn lucky draw, if you will, you know. By the way, Indiana in 76. Now, I know these things aren't going to matter to younger people because it's like talking to King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. But I want to tell you something. I don't know if a team ever ran a tougher gauntlet or one of the toughest ones ever. They started out. Here's their route to the finals in 76, to the championship. St. John's, who were pretty good. Alabama, who were very good that year. Yep. Marquette, 1 year away from winning the whole thing with the same cast, they beat. and UCLA, and then they beat Michigan their own. That was the first year of the you can have two teams from the one conference at a different, you know, and they expanded the tournament, and that was the first time out, and they wound up, of all things, playing their Michigan in the finals and beat them 86-68. That was a tough road, but that'll be held against you. Watch, that'll be held against these guys too. All I know is this: they can score, and they can score in every different way you want. And they're selfless.
They move the ball. They really move the ball. And Jalen Suggs, who could be the number one pick, he probably won't be, but he could be, if he wanted to be a pig and look for himself and try to boost his NBA stock, he could, but he doesn't. And
funny you mention that. I always believe that Magic entered the finals in 79, the Final Four, with an awareness of his NBA, the opinions of the NBA, which that he wasn't a shooter at all. And against Penn, Penn, they got there. They were there. They got there by, you know, beating Duke. You know, they were pretty good. And they had a couple of pros. I was there, and he wanted to show the world he could score. He made it a point to shoot jump shots more than he had almost all year. And
a lot of guys think that way. They're thinking, I'm on the biggest stage, I got to show what I can do. And Jalen Suggs, to his credit, has not done that yet, and I don't anticipate that changing.
But he is capable of if they need him to take over.
Sure
if
is.
They get in a sticky situation, it's that capable. I'm predicting that, you know, probably would be the Baylor game, you would think, you know, but that he can do it and would do it.
The Ryan and Goodman podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college hoops, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit in the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. But, all right, before we go, let's get your picks. We'll get our picks here for the Final Four national champion.
I mean, I have to go chalk. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any other sense. Although I think Houston has a very good puncher's chance, and they would against anybody, and they would have one if they happened to beat Baylor. They would have a puncher's chance against. But clearly, I think that it's going to be a Baylor. A 1-2 final, a 1-2 overall seed final. And I think Gonzaga, you know, I'm going to go with them, but I wouldn't be, you know, I won't be shocked if they lose. I would if they lose to UCLA, but I would not be shocked if they were to lose to Baylor. But I would go with them. Houston could be easily, to me, beat Baylor.
They could.
That old Southwest Conference matchup.
That's right. I have Baylor actually winning the whole thing. I had it preseason. Pre-tournament, I'm going to stick with it. But the more I see Gonzaga, the more I'm like, I don't know how they're going to lose if they play the way, you know, Drew Timmy, again, he was so good against Evan Mobley. I think it would be hard.
About depth? I'm not sold on their depth.
They don't play. They play five guys for the most part.
They get tutored, you know, get tutored out, you know, fairly or unfairly, right? If they get tutored into trouble, I don't know. I mean, 100%. Watson clearly is okay. I don't know how much deeper they go than six. That's of quality.
They really don't. And that's Baylor's advantage. Baylor can go deeper. Their bench is much better. Now, in the NCAA tournament, other than foul trouble, the length of the timeouts is so incredibly deep that they're not going to get tired. It's not like they get tired. I mean, these timeouts are so long. So it's really just about foul trouble and making sure you keep those guys on the court. But, no, it's been good. It's been good. I mean, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we got this far. And we will talk next week when I'm home. How about that? I will be back.
Well, I'll be so much smarter by next week, won't we?
Listen, all I know is the residency has been great, but I'm ready to leave, Bob.
I can understand. Well, I'm heading to Fenway tomorrow, weather permitting. Awesome. And, you know,
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your experience at Fenway next week. We'll recap. We'll recap the Final Four. We'll get back into some NBA talk as I really get back into the NBA after a couple week hiatus here.
This is center stage in basketball is what we've been talking about. That's where it belongs. That's where it should be. So no problem. And a terrific women's Final Four too with chalk. Terrific women's stuff coming up. We could have done an hour just on the last 5 seconds of UConn and Baylor and the controversy that covered. Let me just say one good thing about that, Jeff. Whether you think it was a foul or wasn't a foul, I was really gratified that there was so much reaction to it among the male population, testifying that males who care about basketball were watching that game. And obviously in very good numbers.
Yep.
And I'm happy for the women's game because they deserve it. And that was the one good thing. You know, hey, it was a tough call, but you know, but I'm glad it was a real, you know, Twitter frenzy. That was good.
It was.
Okay.
All right. There you have it. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you come back next week and we will, we'll be back at it from my home and Bob. So again, Ryan and Goodman Podcast. We'll see you next week.